Starscream here, and I am lord and master of all things Transformers. Don't tell Megatron.
Yes, yes, it will. If you shut up, it will.
All right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm shutting up. Do your thing.
Scientific gobbledygook, Starscream.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am, of course, TF2 and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And today's guest is the world-famous YouTuber Optobotomus.
Jesus Christ. Yes, hi.
Hi. Well, I don't have, what is it, like 200 million subscribers or something like that?
No, but everybody already thinks that I have an ego as big as the sun. I don't need you to encourage that stereotype.
No, you're nothing like Schlong, thank God.
Oh. We won't go there.
Yes. It's time to transform and transcend here on All Things Transformers. Okay, and I say this every episode, so people, you're just going to have to go with it. Yes, I know this first question is a stupid question, because why would we have somebody on here that is not a fan of the franchise? But did you grow up with Transformers, Optobotomus, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
I thought this was about GoBots. I don't know.
Shut the bleep up.
GoBots did come out first. Anyhow, okay.
The Kmart version of Transformers.
That's right. Did I grow up with Transformers? Absolutely, I grew up with Transformers. I was born in 1978, and Transformers came out in 84. So I was around 6 years old when it came out. The problem, though, is, and Mike, you know this very well, my memory is like Dr. Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap, but I never traveled through time. It's just perpetually filled with holes, so I don't remember things as well as I wish I could.
So basically, you're a Michigan Mr. Magoo.
Hey, what do you got against people from Michigan? He's from Michigan. You got two of us.
I know.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be from Texas.
Oh, that's even better. Texas.
Watch Michigan. Out for those Master Galvatrons. They're everywhere.
Shut your face.
But My earliest, I remember Transformers, but there's nothing specific that I remember other than my grandparents owned a video store when I was a kid, and my mother was the manager, and she came home one day from work and was like, I have a surprise for you. I'm like, okay. She put a movie in, we sit down in front of it, and it was the Transformers animated movie. Mm-hmm. And now, back then, a lot of people are spoiled nowadays. We have a million different trailers. We have a million different teasers. We know about movies 3 years before they're coming out. Back then, you didn't know a movie was coming out really until you actually saw something advertised for it at the movie theater when you would go there.
Right.
So I had no idea that there was a movie happening, and put it on, and that's the one thing that I remember. I remember sitting there at my aunt's house, her coming home, putting the movie on, and going from there. So in terms of specific memory, that's probably it.
Megatron is commanded by no one.
Awesome. So which Transformers generation is your favorite generation, and why?
Well, people are probably not going to like this. It's kind of like a two-part answer for me. Growing up with it, I grew up with Transformers. That was my generation. But as you get older, you know, things happen, and you aren't into Transformers. You aren't into toys and things like that. So I came back with the 2007 movie. So I kind of have two different generations. What my favorite would, I gotta still say that G1 is gonna be my favorite.
Right.
Just because that's what started it. I mean, that's what instantly got me involved with Transformers. So I gotta go G1. There's a lot of other ones that I really like. There's a few that I don't like. But,
okay, well, we're gonna get to that.
What's that?
We're gonna get to that.
I know. But I'm leading you in, sir.
Yes.
Transition for you.
What other generations of Transformers do you like, and yeah, are there any that you don't like?
In terms of the liking thing, there's actually a lot that I do like. G1 I liked, Beast Wars I like. I did not like Beast Machines.
Toys for crap for that.
Beast Machines.
Yeah, the toys were crap, but the cartoon was cool.
Animation wise, maybe some of the story needed to work, but
yeah, I did sit down for the longest time. I couldn't even get through it. Mm-hmm. And first few episodes are really rough to try to get through. But once you power through, it's not terrible. I mean, I shouldn't make it sound like it's the worst thing in the universe.
It's not Energon.
Could be. I mean, the Unicron trilogy in general was not very good, in my opinion. But that being said, there's a lot that I do like. I like Beast Wars. Beast Machines is what it is. The Unicron trilogy, again, it is what it is. Transformers Animated, I liked a lot. Prime, I liked a lot. I have not been really impressed with RID, but granted, I'm only about halfway through season one. I hear that it gets better. I just can't get over that hump to keep watching it to get to the rest of it. So I'm not a big fan of that, but there's a lot that I do like. Transformers in general really does pull from a lot of really good source material. Mm-hmm. And with each new series, I think they do a good job for the most part. There are some that I think are just batshit crazy. But that's just me.
Sorry, I think we should run out and get you some human fuel. Yes, what say we go to the Burger Bot?
Oh, hello, hello.
It's your favorite, sorry, the Burger Bot, where we'll be for the next hour or so. You know, sorry, you're always in a much better mood after you've eaten.
Why is he telling me all this?
Listen.
Oh.
Boy, it's a great place, the Burger Bot. You know, the one at the corner of Woodward and Canfield?
Thanks for the 411, lame-o. Next time you kick somebody out of your penthouse, you should check the phone for bugs.
Well, I'd say we can be at the Burger Bot in about 10 minutes. Of course, if we were coming from Sumdac
Tower... Okay, I get it. We're going to Burger Bot.
Much sooner.
So, you're going to turn into a truck or do I have to walk?
Truck. Right. Sure.
So, what was your very first Transformers toy?
This is a very, very simple answer. Very quick answer. I honestly don't remember.
That's a great answer.
I have no freaking clue. I listened to the one with Jesse, Matrix Prime.
Yeah.
And it amazes me that people can remember. I mean, I'm going to be 38. I can't remember back 32 years. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you my first Ninja Turtle. I can't tell you my first He-Man figure. I can't tell you the first of any of that stuff. I do remember there was a lot of stuff that I didn't have as a kid. My parents did not have a lot of money really at all. And Transformers weren't something that they bought me a lot of. But I do remember my best friend when I was growing up always having the newest, latest Transformers. He was spoiled in that regard, mostly because I shouldn't be mean, but his dad died when he was younger. So to appease him, I guess. They bought him whatever he wanted. So he had like every single Transformer that ever came out. And I remember being super insanely jealous that he'd come over and he'd have like Power Master Optimus Prime or whatever just came out. And I'm like, pretty much hate you. want you to burn in fires. All this horrible stuff. But I honestly, I cannot tell you what my first one was. Everybody else can. I'm amazed that they can. I feel like I sat here going through the questions, and when it came to that one, I was like, oh shit. And I was like, I can make something up, but I honestly don't remember.
You know, you've had 2 or 3 weeks for this to prepare. I figured you would have had pictures or old videos or something showing you something.
I really don't. The only thing, if my sister is who lives in Vegas is like the keeper of all things photograph. Mm-hmm. So if I went through when I turned like 35, she made me a book that literally had pictures from every year of my life up to my 35th birthday. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, how the f*** do you have all these pictures? This is amazing. There's stuff I'm like, I totally didn't even remember this picture being in existence. And there's the only one that I distinctly remember is there was a picture of me with a birthday cake with Battle Armor He-Man on it. Other than that, there's a couple pictures of me opening like G.I. Joes as a kid on Christmas and stuff. But in terms of everything else, nothing. I tried. I know you told me. I mean, I've had these for a while. I've tried. Like I said, I could have made something up, but
yeah.
I got nothing.
All right. So I know this is going to be a weird question, but it's me, and I guess sometimes I'm weird. But growing up, there was no term for live action role play. We just went out inside and played and made believe and all that crap. So was there ever a point in your childhood that you and your friends got together and said, I'm going to be this character, I'm going to be that character in Transformers?
It's a weird question. Yes, but I absolutely did do that as a kid. I can remember very specifically, going to school and going out in recess and playing Transformers and running around a la G1 Optimus Prime, tucking my arms in on the side, just like the toy did, and running around as if I was transformed into a truck. So yes, I do. Or yes, I did do that. Back then, though, kids had more imaginations. Kids nowadays don't have imaginations.
That's true.
So it's a completely different.
Yeah. Mine do.
Well, okay, well, present company excluded.
Legos.
Yeah, present company Lego, excluded.
But even still though, Steve, I mean, remember, I mean, Legos back when we were kids, they weren't really, it was, here's Lego. You use your imagination, you make what you want. Nowadays, though, and I'm not saying, you know, I mean, everybody's like this. You know, not all kids are like this, but now Legos are specifically marketed as this is what it's supposed to be. But back then, you had to use your imagination to make up your own stuff. So it was more fun to use your imagination. Now you get a Lego set, and okay, well, now you have to build
the Death Star.
The Death Star, yeah. Or I mean, and I do have some of those. So it's not like I haven't enjoyed them myself, but that's just the way it is. I mean, licensing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they want to make money, and you make more money by selling the Ghostbuster firehouse than you do with just a generic pack of Legos that a kid will use. But yeah, so playing Transformers, that absolutely happened. It's weird now that I think about it. But, yeah.
I hope April has pictures of that. I want to see that right now.
Because she's 2 years younger than me. Oh. So when I was 6, she was only 4.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she had access to a camera.
Hey, you never know.
It's possible, yeah. But I mean, and this was also like always at recess with my friends. I think they discouraged people taking pictures of children.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, unless you work for Subway.
Okay. All righty then. Wow. Yeah, let's move on here.
I pulled one of those moments earlier today saying something to that degree that made somebody fall over laughing, so see, it was great.
It's the Michigan sense of humor. That's what it is, Mike. Just get used to it.
Yeah, it's like the there was a scene in Daredevil Season 2 that a guy at work was watching while he was waiting for the place to close, and he was interrogating somebody, and I says, "Where is she?" like Christian Bale, and he like laughed so hard he fell off his chair. And he's like, "He does sound like that." He says, "I didn't even put it together."
It's true.
But, who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation?
Basically, Megatron puts a fusion cannon to your head and says, "Choose." You can pick one Autobot and one Decepticon.
One Autobot, one Decepticon. Huh? Okay. Autobot, it's definitely Wheeljack.
Well, hang on to your crankshaft. I'm shifting into overdrive.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, growing up for me, I was a bit of a nerd that loved science and technology and stuff, and you just naturally identify with whatever character you're seeing on there. So since he was that kind of guy, I naturally gravitated towards him. But that's true for almost every 80s franchise that I grew up with. You know, Man at Arms and He-Man was my favorite. Panthro, Thundercats, Donatello for Ninja Turtles. I mean, all of them, if there was a nerdy scientist guy in the show, that's who I liked. So, Wheeljack, Autobots, Decepticon, I would probably say I liked Shockwave more. He always reminded me of Spock. And I liked Spock, so I don't remember really liking the Decepticons all that much. I mean, when you're a kid, you like the good guys more than most people like the good guys more than the bad guys.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, if I were to pick one for a Decepticon, I'd go Shockwave.
So besides those two, what are some other Transformers characters you like throughout the history of the franchise?
Again, you know, it's kind of like whoever I kind of identified with. Shockwave is a good one. I really liked Computron as a kid, but again, smart. One of my favorite episodes from season 3 is
Grimlock's new brain.
Absolutely. I mean, that's probably one of my favorites.
What do we do, Grimlock? The Terracons turned into a giant.
Do not fear Abominus, for you have the power to become Computron. Merge!
I am Computron. My computation capacity is nearly infinite, yet I lack the intelligence to feed my capacity.
Kneel, Computron. You will now receive my intelligence, Computron, and I will return to my former state.
But Grimlock,
super intelligence is the only way you can defeat Abominus's brute force. It's the only way.
Item received. Conclusion: must destroy Abominus at once.
And to this day, I remember being at BotCon last year. No, this year, 2016's BotCon, when Greg Berger was there. And I hope he doesn't hear this, because I don't want to make him sound like he's pathetic or anything. But everybody was like enamored by the fact that Judd Nelson and David Kaye were there, and everybody was like flocking to those guys. And Greg, he was just kind of like roaming around, and nobody was really paying any attention to him. And I kind of felt bad for the dude. So I went over and I started talking to him. And I was telling him that one, I mean, I love Grimlock. And I said, but one of my favorites was Grimlock's New Brain, because you got to see a little bit more of the acting side for Greg.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, mindless me, Grimlock. Blah. I mean, anybody could have done that. I mean, that was anyone could have back then. I mean, you could have had Frank Welker do it and you probably would have done a fine job. But with Grimlock's New Brain, it's just you got to see more and you got to see more depth to Grimlock. And a lot of that stuff comes from the voice actors and the work that they do to put into those characters. And I just sat there and I was talking to him about that. And he was going back and forth and how he loves the character. And that's one of his, he likes doing that, or he liked doing that episode. Probably because he had a lot more lines.
Yeah.
Than normal.
Besides,
me, Grimlock. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the episode was his, and I thought he nailed it. So, Grimlock is definitely a favorite of mine as well. All the Dinobots kind of, I enjoy those because I also liked dinosaurs when I was a kid. So the Dinobots just win for me all the time. Even the Age of Extinction Dinobots. I got all goose pimply when I saw those suckers on screen. So kiss my butt. I don't care. But there's a lot of characters that are out there that are good.
Awesome. Are there any Transformers characters you hate?
I really do wonder when I got this. I wonder if I'm gonna flip this around. Mike, do you know of a Transformer character that I hate? I want to see if you know this.
Activator Starscream?
No.
It's an actual character.
Yeah, I know.
Actual character.
Not a mutation.
For those that... Well, yeah, everybody's answer is Wheelie.
Eat Wheelie. I honestly don't. I mean, he's annoying in the Japanese series. He's not as annoying as the North American series. I'll say that much about Wheelie. Still annoying, but not that much. You're struggling.
Yeah, I'm struggling here.
His brain is on fire.
Yeah, pretty much.
You may remember when you. I remember talking about this kind of with you before, but I really did not like what the hell's her name? Miko.
Oh yeah, that's right. Really, Miko from Transformers Prime. Yeah,
she drove me freaking nuts.
Let me guess. You and Ralph spent all your drive time listening to chiptunes. Well, it's been fun, but I'm ready to get back to my regularly scheduled partner, Balkan. Ah!
Balkan, respond!
Balkan?
Every single time that she did something stupid, I wanted to punch the TV.
What are you doing here?
Going after the Khan who hurt Bulkhead. You in?
I'm taking you back.
No, wait!
Kid, I get it. You want payback. You and me both.
Bulkhead's my partner, too.
Trust me. When I find out which one of Megatron's goons jumped our boy, I'll take care of him. My way.
I know who did it.
Who?
Take me, and I'll tell you.
And that's not to say that... I mean, I understand the concept of the character. I understand why she was there. I understand all that stuff. I was just annoyed by her. And another one that is very similar to her was Siri.
Sorry.
I did not like Siri.
Sorry. Very,
Sorry, whatever. Siri, sorry, whatever.
Siri is on your iPhone, dude. Come on
that's
now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
No. Hey, this is Sari, and you guys should check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike. It's a cool show.
Sari, I hated her, too.
Miko, I like a lot better than Sari. I can tolerate Sari to a certain extent, but Miko... The one episode of Prime where she absolutely stood out, as soon as they made an exosuit joke with her getting in the Apex armor, I was like, oh yeah, she's going to kick ass now.
That was pretty decent.
Yeah.
I'll give that to him, but it just, no. those two, I could have lived without in my life.
Mm-hmm. They're not as bad as Kicker and any of the other kids from the Unicron trilogy, though. Those kids were horrible.
Yeah. You know, and that's one thing that always amazes me. And I know we're going to talk about this later on, but like with the Michael Bay movies, everybody hates the humans so much. I'm like, show me a Transformers where humans haven't been involved in it.
Beast Wars.
Humans, they were there, though.
Those were proto-humans. They don't count.
But that's a good point. But maybe that's why Beast Wars is so good. Who knows?
Because I feel like with every other version of Transformers, I'm watching like a bad episode of Mega Man.
Wait, which version? The original or the NT Warrior?
The original.
Okay. 94. Mm. Yeah.
Dr. Light, why is Dr. Wily sending up his crazy robots? I don't know. Why isn't there a kill switch? I don't know.
All right, so 9 and 10 kind of go hand in hand, but we're going to split them up anyway. Number 9 is, over your lifetime as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or weaker?
It definitely got weaker, I would say. As I got older, but it's one of those things where, like with every kid, as you grow up, other things start interesting you, girls.
Yeah.
That's logical progression.
Yes. So it's a natural sort of thing to move away from that kind of stuff. I would definitely say that it got weaker as I got older. But then when the movies came out, the Bayformer movies, which I hate calling them Bayformer movies, and I can't believe I just did that. when those came out, it's gotten considerably stronger. I can honestly say that I probably like Transformers now more than I did as a kid. And that's just, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that it's in my life more now than it was back then.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do reviews for them on YouTube, so.
But yeah. But I mean, even still, it's like when you're a kid, you grow up, you go through school, all that kind of stuff. There's different things that you grow to like more, you know, sports, whatever the case may be. When you're an adult, you're already kind of settled in, and it's like if you're going to like something, that's not really going to go away too much. I mean, as you get older, I mean, I'm in my 30s. I mean, I can't imagine me not liking Transformers in my 40s. It's going to be there still. So plus, I mean, so from 84
to 87.
Yeah, I mean... Well, yeah, but even to that point, so like 84 to 94, when did Beast Wars come out?
96.
Oh, so there was, okay. So, I mean, I graduated high school in 97. So there was no way. I mean, I didn't even know Beast Wars existed for the most part then. So it's like in those 10 years going from Transformers, their beginning to 1994 with, you know, 10 years. I mean, I'm still here 10 years later going from 2007 to 2016. So it's definitely more of a presence in my life now. So, I mean, it's growing stronger now, but it definitely peaked and valleyed, I would say.
Now, there have been a lot of people who have said that, you know, and you said growing up and noticing girls and whatever else, you kind of drop things. But I've known people that have gotten so mad at the Transformers franchise and fandom and all that, that they've just dropped everything, just didn't even want to deal with it anymore. Yeah. Did you ever have a point in your life when you said, screw it, I'm done?
It's a unique question, especially for me, because I'm a little bit more, I don't know how to say this, because of what I do, by doing toy reviews and everything, I'm more ingrained in the franchise. So I can get jaded a little bit easier, I guess, because I deal with so many more people on it. So, there are a lot of annoyances and things like that where it's like, I don't want to deal with these people anymore. I'm done. But all in all, one thing that I've always learned with me and with my job and everything is, as annoying as some people may be, as disappointed in people as you may get, there's always good people out there that outweigh the bad people. The good ones usually don't don't talk as much. So it gets lost in that. I mean, what's that saying? Like, you know, I mean, if you complain about something, I mean, it's louder than somebody if you praise them. I mean, everybody pays attention. I know, like, an example would be like, if you go on eBay to buy something, and I know I do this, I don't even bother looking at the positive feedback. I always go to the negative feedback. And there's like 6 negative feedbacks and there's 20,000 positive ones. I go and I read the negative ones. Why? Why does it matter? It doesn't. It shouldn't matter. So, the negative stuff always stands out more than the positive. But at the end of the day, there's always more positive than negative. So every time that I've felt like I want to just throw the towel in and get away from the franchise, I just remember that there's more good out there than bad.
Yeah. It's kind of funny you say that about, you know, giving voices to things. With the internet giving birth to all the Transformers fans and everybody having their own voice, do you find yourself getting lost in the fandom, or do you just shout louder?
I can definitely see why some people would feel that way. It's the internet's given a platform to everybody, and I always kind of joke. I mean, we're all fairly old enough to remember a time where the internet really wasn't much of anything.
Right. And
I always joked saying that when and if I ever have kids, I'm going to tell my kids that I'm older than the internet and I'm going to blow their minds. Nowadays, everything's on the internet. The internet is omnipresent. It's always there. People get their news from Twitter more than they do from watching the 10 o'clock news on television. So it's like, it's all out there and everybody has a platform for it. So, the louder you scream, the more your voice gets heard. So, I guess it gives fuel to some of those people, including myself. So for me, though, it's one of those things that it's kind of a curse in some respects, because I have a louder voice because of the internet, and in this franchise I have a lot louder voice that I tend to have to learn how to be a lot more careful with things that I say. And it's a very, very weird thing. It's like I'm not allowed to have an opinion and share it with people, because somebody else out there may have a different opinion and they'll probably get mad at me. And
maybe they'll get butt hurt.
Yeah, the internet has created a lot of that. It's perpetual high school is the way that I look at it. The internet allows you to be in high school all the time. Yep, and
pretty much
it's a bad thing, but I mean the internet, I mean, but again, I mean, if we focus on the negative so much, then you're going to become a jaded, terrible little person. I mean, there's so much good that's on the internet, and it's just overshadowed by a lot of bad that's on there, and you lose the fact that there's good stuff. So, it's given. I mean, I remember a time when forums and stuff weren't anything, so people couldn't get together and have like-minded people. Now the internet comes around, and you can go on a forum, you can go on the internet, and you can share your interests and things like that. You couldn't do that before, and you were limited to whatever town that you were in. Yeah. Now you're not limited by those borders. You're able to talk to somebody in the UK about Transformers that has the same passion for that you do, that you may not have been able to express to somebody because maybe you grew, I know I grew up in a small town, and now you can share that with everybody in the world. So, it's given a voice to it. It's not always a good thing. Sometimes people's voices get lost in the shuffle. Luckily I don't seem to be one of those people, so I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say luckily. That makes me sound like I'm a conceited asshole. but I mean, with me, it is what it is. It's I've used it to my advantage, I guess. But it's a really interesting thing. I mean, we could sit there and, I mean, this we're talking about Transformers. You could sit there and do a whole podcast on what the internet has done for society just in like the last 10 years.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, but yeah. So voices, I hear them.
Yes, you do.
Do you hear them in your head?
Sometimes.
Do you answer?
They're not in my head.
Do you answer the call?
Don't even.
I sometimes do.
Answer the call. Nobody's home.
So, quiet down. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
What is your favorite Transformers theme song?
Oh God,
or anthem, or
yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody's gonna say this exact same thing. Everybody's gonna say Sam Bush. Everybody's gonna say the Touch. Everybody's gonna say Dare. I mean, a lot of those things came out from the animated movie. I mean, you could say the original G1 intro and all that kind of stuff. One thing that I like is, and a lot of people don't, I don't want to say they don't. I mean, a lot of people do. But I don't think that Steve Jablonski gets enough credit for the job that he's done in the Michael Bay movies. Whether or not you like the movies or not, I think that the scores he's done for him have been really spectacular.
Oh, they have.
I agree.
I always kind of joke that there are certain sounds, there are certain themes that you hear them and they're almost universal, that almost anyone in this world will know. You play the original Superman theme, most people are going to recognize that. You play Indiana Jones, people are going to recognize it. You play Jurassic Park, people are going to recognize it. Nowadays, I think if you play some of the score from any of the Transformer movies, people will recognize it. I was literally watching a documentary the other night on dinosaurs. It was produced by the BBC, and I'm watching it, and they were playing Arrival to Earth in the background, and I instantly recognized it. And I was like, damn! And like that, I thought that was cool. So, I mean, I think that Steve's done a great job. I'm happy that Michael Bay has kept him through all these movies. I've seen that he is working on The Last Knight, which makes me excited. I thought that the Age of Ultron, or not Age of Ultron, Age of Extinction got a little bit away from what I liked that he did previously.
Well, part of that with Age of Extinction is that it has Imagine Dragons doing vocal stuff on it.
I didn't think that they did a bad job. I thought
I thought that was one of the best things about Age of Extinction was the score.
Yeah, I mean that was pretty good. I mean Linkin Park. I to this day I still. Oh, what the hell's the? I can't remember the name of it. Oh, What I've Done. I can't think. I mean, when What I've Done comes on and I'm driving around in my car, I blast the shit out of that because it reminds me of the end of the 07 movie.
And because you drive a Bumblebee.
And I drive around in Bumblebee. Yes. I'm sure that has something to do with it too. But I mean, it's some of those songs I identify with it now. So, Stan Bush. Those are all timeless. But it's there's a new generation now, and for me, Stan Bush, The Touch, that still blasts in my car. I have a certain playlist when I'm driving to hockey, and The Touch plays on my playlist when I'm on my way to go play hockey. So
is it Stan's version or is it Marky Mark's version?
it's the one from the actual soundtrack, not Marky Mark, which I've never seen that one. I'm aware of the fact that it's in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
I've never seen Boogie Nights. I have no interest in seeing Boogie Nights. I know it's there, but there it is. Yep. But Steve Jablonski, badass composer.
Yeah, he is. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
A lot. people tease me because they don't think that doing toy reviews is a lot of work. And my wife will tease me all the time because I just got the Hot Toys Age of Ultron Hawkeye. So now I have to go down and watch all the scenes with Hawkeye in Age of Ultron just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about in the video. And I do the same thing with my Transformer reviews. So I just posted my review of the Masterpiece Optimus Primal, and I went back and watched several episodes of season one of Beast Wars.
I will have that Wednesday. I cannot wait.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I can't wait for Masterpiece Megatron to go with it. They haven't announced that. I'm just saying.
You know it's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
You know it's going to happen. But yeah, so it's like, yes, I sit down. And Mike, I know you do the same thing. You'll sit down. You'll watch a whole series because you're about to do a podcast on a particular cartoon series or something. So you'll sit down and you'll power through and you'll watch all the episodes so that you know what you're talking about. It's the same thing with me. And yep. I enjoy it. I'm not saying that it's hard work. I'm sitting on my fat ass watching TV. It's not difficult, but it's time consuming. And I'm enjoying what I'm doing, but I sit down and watch a lot of them over and over again. Masterpiece, I think Grapple, is supposed to be coming out sometime in November. It's probably towards the end of November. So I got a little while before I have to start doing that, but I have to go through with a fine-tooth comb and find all the different episodes of G1 where Grapple was in it.
Yeah.
Just so that I can look and I can know what I'm going to talk about. I may not necessarily use it in a video,
right,
but at least I know that it's in my mind that when I'm spewing out whatever, I'll at least know what I'm talking about in it. So I all the time, I'm watching stuff all the time. Which, shout out to Shout Factory for their Blu-ray job on the animated movie. We were talking about the animated movie a little bit ago. I've never seen that thing look so good in my entire freaking life. And it's a bit – I'm kind of bummed out. While I was at TF Expo, it was the 35th anniversary. We had Michael Bell there, all that kind of stuff. We actually got to somehow they arranged it where they could get the movie and we could watch it on the big screen. And I've never seen it on the big screen. So I was super excited, but it wasn't the new transfer or anything. It was the original like 35 millimeter. So it was still good, and a lot of people don't understand that even going way back to the way back in the day, that a lot of films are filmed in basically a 4K format, but then they're scaled down for television and things like that. So yeah. that's why like when they're doing the restoration for the animated movie, it's already filmed in 4K. You just got to clean it up. And if you watch the special features on there, they were saying that it was one of the cleanest films that they've ever found. There was very little degradation in the actual 35 millimeter film. So I mean, that's amazing to see. And going back and rewatching that, that's kind of off on a tangent, but
that's all right.
Good shit. So good job, Shout Factor.
So, with all of our love of Transformers here, out of the Transformers comics, which is your favorite?
Mike, I don't even know why you left that in there. Because
it's a question we ask everybody. We can pass it. It's not that big of a deal.
I was too young for comics, really. I mean, I watched the cartoons. I didn't get into comics until I was around 13 or 14 years old, which would have been around 92, I think, around 92, 93, when the death of Superman happened. And around that time is also when I went back, and I mean, Ninja Turtles were out then, and then I got back and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Ninja Turtles were comics before? So I went back and remember reading all that stuff. I don't have, like, even to this day, I mean, and I hear a lot of really great stuff about what IDW is doing, all this kind of stuff. Everybody loves the comics. Part of it is I don't have time. And a lot of it is I don't really have the patience to sit down and read. I cannot sit still for too long. So even when I was in school, I hated reading because you have to sit down, you have to read. Reading's important, kids. So always read. But me, I couldn't do it. So it was never really a big thing. So comics weren't anything that I was really into, like I said, until I was a little bit older. But I hear great things about what IDW, and I'm actually friends with Casey Collar, who does a lot of work for IDW and stuff. And I was talking to him, and like the art is phenomenal. The work that they do for it is amazing. And I wish I had the ability to sit down long enough to read a comic book without me starting to twitch from sitting still for too long. I go into like kind of seizures, small mini seizures. I have to read. No, I don't want to read. I don't want to read. Like for example, I love Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite franchises for a movie.
Yeah, you can watch the movie. You can't read the book.
Read the books. I've tried, and I've even tried, and I was like, I really want to read the books. I want to read the books. So I actually bought them on iTunes or whatever, like audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm listening, so I don't even have to really pay much attention. But I'm like, I have the book in my hand and I'm flipping through it and somebody's reading it for me. And I still couldn't even do it then. I just can't sit still. Yeah. I feel bad, but I mean... Everybody that I know loves the comics.
Yeah. What is how big is your Transformers toy collection?
This one kind of pissed me off, Mike, because
what?
Because it made me then sit down and be like, now I got to sit down and count these damn things. And in my office right now, I got up to I got up to 300, and that was not including my G1 shelf, which counting those, because I would have had to pull out a chair to get up all the way to the top, because it's the shelf. I know you've seen it, Mike, where
he makes it sound like it's a whole bunch of work, folks.
It is a lot of work. You try counting 300.
You know, things. I figured by now you would just have a spreadsheet and you just add to the number as you go along.
No, I'm not that smart.
Apparently that, not.
That requires a little bit of effort. But I counted. I got up to 300, and I stopped counting when I got to my G1 stuff. But that's probably another 100. So I'm guessing at about 400 or so in my office right now. But I have a 20 by 20 storage where I keep a lot of boxes and stuff. And I have a lot of stuff in there as well, like my whole Transformers animated collection. And I'm almost 100% positive. That's actually one series that I can say that I believe that I have almost 100% of every toy that was made in Transformers animated.
Cool.
The movie stuff. Movies and animated came out around the same time-ish, but there was a lot of movie stuff that I didn't really care too much about. Animated, though, for some reason, I just wanted to buy everything that was made toy-wise for animated. Like, I didn't buy lunchboxes. I didn't go all Proto Man on things. I mean, if it had animated on it, I didn't have to buy it. I mean, if it was just a backpack, I mean, I don't care. I mean, if it was a toy, I bought it. But I didn't care about lunch pails or whatever. So that's a huge collection that I don't even know. I mean, I know that's like two totes. But so in my office, I would guess I have around 400 pieces right now.
Wow.
But that also, I mean, when you think about that, that's like the Combiner Wars Computron. I count that as five figures.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, the Superion, I count that as five figures. So it's stuff like that. I should say that I have about 400 Transformer related pieces, because I also have the Prime One Studios statues, which I count as part of my Transformer collection.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, those are added in there as well. So it's not just 400 toys, you know, there's 3-0 or 3A. I always get the two confused. The little, or they're not even little. They're like the full size Optimus Prime and Bumblebee figures aren't as big as the statues, but are articulated and stuff. So it's like that stuff I count all is into it as well.
Damage is too severe. I'm gonna have to amputate.
What?
Don't worry. Cybertron service will issue a replacement leg within 6 to 8 solar cycles.
Oh! Couldn't I get a second opinion?
Rodimus 2 Elite Guard Command! We are under attack! Repeat! Requesting backup, we are under attack!
Stay cool, Rodimus, and try to hold out a little longer.
Elite Guard forces are strained to maximum as it is.
Sir, I don't know how long we can keep the cars from the space bridge!
The cars are going after every space bridge on the periphery!
We can't let any of them transwarp to Cybertron!
I can assure you, Commander, that the Cybertron space bridge nexus is fully guarded.
We'll be ready for anything that comes through.
Count on it.
Ironhide! Brawn! Transform and fall back! We need to protect the space bridge!
Ironhide!
back out, you fool! We need the space bridge operational!
Oh, sorry.
Cyclonius, Oil Slick, help Free Spitter and secure the perimeter!
You'll have to get past me first, Deceptor creeps!
You say that like it's a difficult thing, Autobot.
Cosmic rust!
What is one Transformers toy you could never part with?
That... I mean, I'm not one of those kind of people that have a huge...
Keep list?
Huh?
Keep list?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, if... I mean, I live in California. If there was a giant earthquake, I'm not going to be thinking about what figure I want to grab before my house explodes or something like that. If I were to pick one, though, it would probably be my G1 Predaking, just because that was bought with when my aunt passed away. This was a few years ago when G1 Predaking and like G1 Fort Max were like holy grail figures that were ridiculously expensive to get, and I never wanted to spend that much money to buy. Here I'm talking about Prime One Studios shit, and I don't want to spend $400 on a G1 Predaking. yeah, that's retarded. That was when she passed away. We all of her nieces and nephews got some money, and when I got mine, that was one of the things that I bought with it. So if I were to grab something off my shelf and run out, I would probably grab that. That was also one thing that my friends, I had did. There's a company, a third party company called Crazy Devi. I don't know if they do much stuff nowadays, but they were doing like upgrade parts for like G1 combiner toys and stuff. And Predaking was one of them where you could put like these giant freaking wings on them and bulk them up and everything. And I got theirs. I put it on mine and it just gnawed the crap out of the wings, Dive Bomb's wings, just scratched them, and just it looked like they went through a garbage disposal, and I was my heart was broken. It was like, oh my god, I'm like, this is so all my friends felt really bad about that, and I mean, I was really upset about it, and they went in and bought me a brand new, but they bought me another Dive Bomb so that I could replace that in that. So that was really nice. So I'd probably say G1 Predaking.
All right. What is the most money you spent on a Transformers toy item?
That would be the Prime One Studio statues. Optimus Prime, I want to say, was around $2,300.
Really?
Yeah, and Megatron, I think, is like $1,900.
Wow.
Those are probably the most expensive. But now again, and I tell people all the time, yes, those are expensive. But it's not like I wrote a check for $2,300 and I handed it to Sideshow Collectibles at once. It was for Optimus Prime. Megatron was a little bit less. Megatron was like a 9-month thing, and Optimus Prime was like a 14-month thing, where I was doing payments on it, which still, I mean, the payments are still pretty high, but it wasn't like $2,300 came out of my bank account all at once kind of thing. So I spread that kind of stuff out, but yeah. those are definitely the most expensive.
Yeah. That's kind of disheartening for me, because if I was ever going to get back into collecting anything, I love those Prime One Studio stuff. Like anything that they've done that I've seen to this point, the Turtles stuff, Bebop and Rocksteady, yeah, the Transformer stuff, and come to find out they're $2,000 a piece almost. That's just wow.
Well, and I mean, I remember saying this very distinctly in my videos that I did for them, is these are pieces of art.
Yeah.
I mean, and art is not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. And I have so many people that they're like, have you seen Ratchet? Have you seen Ironhide? What about Jazz? Are you going to get those? No. I mean, I can't constantly keep shelling out money like that. It's definitely something I wish I could get. Number one, I wouldn't have the space for all of those. I would have to be very, very picky. This is a huge might.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly consider getting Ironhide just because of the fact that what got me into Transformer reviews, my very first review was the 2007 Voyager class Ironhide. So that would be the only reason why, but that, I mean, I haven't even looked at the price on that. So I don't even know, but yeah, you're talking, $1,500 for it. And it's like, everyone's like, are you going to get this? No. I mean, they just think that I'm rolling in the money, and that's not the way that it is at all. I wish it was the case, but that's definitely not the way that it is. But they're really gorgeous pieces.
They are.
Everything is for sale.
And Burger likes them.
Yay!
So, do you... Well, obviously, you like the Bayverse.
Well, the question is, for those that don't know, do you like, loathe, or just are you indifferent to the Bayverse?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm a little bit jaded. I do like it. I do like it. There are elements that, as an original fan, that I don't like. But I'm a big fan of perspective. And I tell people this all the time. It's why I'm able to take a Transformer toy that is meant for a 5 to 8 year old and review it and not instantly hate the damn thing like some other reviewers, because I use a thing called perspective. This is a toy that is meant for a 5 year old. It is not meant for an adult collector such as myself. So, it's perspective. I look at that there are things that I would not have done as an original fan in the Bayverse movies, but I understand why they are done the way that they are. It's created a whole new generation of Transformer fans. So whether you like it, whether you loathe it, whether you're indifferent to it, you have to be able to accept the fact that the reality of the situation was, I'm going to blame the Unicron trilogy, Transformers was dying. The franchise was abysmal. Sales, I mean, there's graphics out there that you can look up that show that Hasbro's toy sales for Transformers were pathetic. And as soon as the 2007 movie came out, toy sales like quadrupled. And there's a lot of good stuff that we've gotten because of those movies.
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece figures are huge because of it. A lot. I mean, one of my favorite series is Transformers Animated. That got a lot of play because of the Michael Bay movies. We got Generations toys, which are great. I mean, there's a lot of good that has come from this, and it's all because there's just a new influx of money to Hasbro that they're able to do all this stuff with, and Masterpiece stuff as well. But it's because of the Michael Bay movies. So you can hate them. That's fine. I don't care if you hate them or not. I have a job because of them, so I can't be too terribly mad at them. But it's just one of those things where... I use the word many times, it's perspective. To a lot of kids nowadays, the car that I drive around in is Bumblebee. It's not a Volkswagen Beetle. So kids will drive around, they'll point at my car, and I know exactly what they're thinking. And now me, I could drive down the road, and if I see a yellow Volkswagen Beetle, you're damn right I'm thinking Bumblebee. But kids nowadays don't. To them, often time is a Peterbilt truck with red flames. That's not what I think of when I think of Optimus Prime, but that's sure as hell what kids think of nowadays.
True.
So it's their generation. And because of it, it's made us be able to get a lot more cool stuff. So I don't mind it at all. And my wife, one of her favorite lines is like, they're coming out with a new movie. I'm like, yeah. She's like, good. More business for you. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as it keeps the franchise going around, I'm all for it. I think it's great. It's growing the brand. It's giving us stuff that we've always wanted. And I mean, as an adult collector, I can look at my masterpiece shelf and be like, 20 years ago, these things would never have existed.
Yep.
So I'm like, I mean, 10 years ago, they barely existed. Yep. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive where it's come. So you can hate Michael Bay, hate him. That's fine. He's still going to keep making the movies because they still make billions of freaking dollars. So clearly the movies aren't meant for us. Funny story is my mom cannot stand Transformers. She has no interest in them whatsoever. She loves the Michael Bay movies. Why? I have no clue. I have no idea. But that's the way that it is. I mean, every single new Transformer movie that comes out makes more money than the last one did.
Yep.
And we as fans, we sit there and are like, well, this one sucked, and this one sucked, and this one sucked. The only one that's good is the 2007 movie. But if that's the case, then how come they keep making more money?
Yep.
There's something about it, and the kids love it. So, I mean, I know that Michael Bay was only involved in terms of a digital production company for the new Ninja Turtle movies.
Right.
But one of my favorite things I love, it's the Fine Brothers on YouTube. They do a series called that Kids React To.
Yeah.
And they did a version where it's like kids react to like Ninja Turtles, and they showed them, we as, you know, you, us three, we love the original movies, like the 1990 Jim Henson movies. We love those movies. These kids looked at those costumes that they wore and thought that those things were scary as F-U-C, you know what. They did not like it. They loved the way that the CGI turtles looked. Meanwhile, what did most like adults our size and age talk about when we first saw the Bay Turtles? How terrible the CGI looked and how that the turtles looked like giant monsters.
Yep.
Well, guess what? They're mutants. They're supposed to look like giant freaking monsters.
Well, at least they weren't aliens from outer space.
They weren't aliens, and that's a whole nother story. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's different times, different reactions to kind of things, and it all goes back to my favorite word right now is perspective.
If you could create any kind of Transformers fiction, whether it be a toy, a cartoon, comic, whatever you want to call it, movie, what would it be, and what story would you want to tell with it?
This is actually, I mean, we're talking about it now, and when I got these, I had just gotten off the phone. I would love to be able to work on the movies. I mean, it would be awesome. Now, I am not doing this deliberately. I'm not name dropping on purpose or anything like that, but I am personal friends with Adam Goldberg, who is the creator of the Goldbergs. He and I, we don't talk about that kind of stuff. We talk about toys and nerdy shit, which is hilarious. But he and I have talked ad nauseum about the different things that we would love to do for a Transformers movie. And going back to what we were talking before, you know, we think that we would make a movie for fans that the fans would love. But honestly, and I have to be very real with it, I don't know if it would appeal to people such as my mom, you know, and that's what you have to do. You have to reach that wider audience. And I would love to work on the movies. I know it wouldn't happen, obviously, but that's what I would love to do. If I could create anything, I'd love to be able to do that aspect of it, because I think that I could make a really good Transformer movie based on a lot of different things. But I honestly don't know, like I said, if it would be good. I mean, you and I, Mike, we've talked about this before, where Superman Returns is kind of a love letter towards the original Dick Donner movies, which, I mean, it's meant to make fans happy.
I would have rather have had Superman Lives.
You know what I mean, though. I mean,
well, the thing is we got to remember that even though these Transformers movies are not what we want, personally, the ones that are out right now, and there are things that we would do differently. Beast Wars did the same thing for G1 fans back in the day, because people were like, Transformers was dead. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
So without Beast Wars, we wouldn't actually have anything that we have now. So again, this renaissance has happened once more, bringing us kind of full circle in a sense. So
absolutely. I mean, it was, I mean, you go back and a lot of people conveniently forget about how bad G2 Transformers was.
Yeah. Nobody forgets how bad those colors were.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not even talking the colors. I'm talking about like the reruns.
Oh, this is your episode, dude. Don't even get me started on the cybernetic space cube, because I will explode.
I'm just saying it's you know,
it was the attempt to rehash the series.
Yeah. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
And it took something like Beast Wars to make it happen. But when you look at it, that's a radically different idea than what was there before. And that's what appealed to new people, and that's what made it popular again. And that's the same thing with these new movies. So I think that I could do great work on the movies. I honestly don't know if it would turn out to be as popular as they are now, because I don't know if it would appeal to as wide of an audience as the movies do now. Yeah. But I would love that chance. That'd be fun. Rockin' and rolling with
Savage Ravage. Do you have a my parents got rid of my toys story?
Again, that's another one where I honestly don't remember. and I thought about it before. I'm trying to think about it now. I honestly don't remember what happened to a lot of my toys.
Well, you said your mom didn't like Transformers, so
no,
assume that she
didn't. I mean, the thing is, it's like she didn't care. She was indifferent. I shouldn't say she didn't like them. She didn't care. I would imagine that they ended up in a box somewhere and was shipped off to somewhere or thrown away or something. not a very good answer, but yeah, I don't remember, to be honest. I know when I got a little bit older, there was some stuff that ended up in their garage. I mean, I'm talking a lot older. I mean, like 15 years ago kind of thing. So a lot older. I know there was a lot of my stuff that was left over that did have some toys in it. But not so much Transformers, to be honest. I know that that's where I saved my G2 Grimlock, which I do have still in my collection. It's in terrible condition. He's got no teeth, so he's like a geriatric Grimlock. Like, all the teeth in dinosaur mode have broken off, so it's just like he'll gum you to death.
Me, Grimlock, like, want to munch metal.
Me, yeah. Grimlock, eat teeth. Me need dentures. and I have the Bumblebee from the Pretenders version of Bumblebee, but just the Bumblebee part, not the shell or anything. Those were all left over that somehow made it in there. There's another bag of like Toy Biz X-Men figures that I still have now. A lot of the stuff somehow made it to my parents, my mom's house when she moved to Vegas. After my dad passed away, she and my sister moved to Vegas. And they took all the stuff that was there, and some of my stuff went along with them. And when I went there, there was a whole bunch of my stuff that I went through, and I found a whole bunch of that stuff. But a lot of it was basically destroyed because in Vegas, it gets to be like 110 degrees. Yep. And inside a garage, it gets up to like 150 degrees.
Yep.
So a lot of stuff melted and was just like terrible. So the good stuff I kind of saved, I still have a bunch of it here with me now. Like a lot of, like I said, like a lot of the Toy Biz X-Men stuff I still have. That's in my garage now. And then the Grimlock and Bumblebee are up there. So, I mean, I would imagine that there's some stuff that got thrown away because I don't have it anymore. Yeah. It didn't make it to the Vegas Inferno. but what happened to the other stuff? I have no idea.
Vanished. Final question. What is one piece of advice that you would give the Transformers fandom and Transformers collectors in general?
This one I had to think long and hard about. And I really liked what Jesse kind of said, Matrix Prime, that he was kind of talking about how, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, with like the internet, that people no longer seem to respect other people's opinions. And the internet has given us a platform where we can just bitch and scream at everybody else about it. No, you're wrong. I'm right. Well, I'm right. You're wrong. I mean, you just go back and forth with the whole thing. And I mean, everybody talks, you can't talk religion, you can't talk politics. Well, it's because people can't respect other people's opinions and can't say, you know what, you have a different opinion than me. I don't agree with it, but you have a
different... Agree to disagree.
Yeah, exactly. Agree to disagree. Yeah, people don't do that anymore. So we don't have to agree on everything, but the internet has turned it into such a vile place for anyone to express their opinions that they're instantly attacked if you don't agree. And it's honestly pretty obnoxious. I would honestly say that we need to come to a place. I don't know how it's going to happen, especially in this day and age with political this, that, and the other thing. I don't know how we can get to a place again where we can respect other people's opinions. It's almost like we've come to a turning point, or it's like the tipping point or whatever, where it just seems like there's no going back now. That everybody's opinion, if you have a different one, you're instantly an outcast or something like that. So I wish we could get back to that point where you could have discussions, you could listen to people's opinions, and like you said, Steve, you know, agree to disagree. That's fine. You can walk away. And I mean, I've seen it, and I don't mean to make this a political thing, but I've seen so many people now, like with the presidential thing, losing friends over different points of views. And it's sad. It really is very, very sad. And at the more basic level, we're talking about Transformers. We're talking about toys. You may like one thing. Someone else might like another thing. But we all love the franchise. We all love Transformers.
Yep.
So why do we have to isolate one person, call them out, and, you know, well, you don't like what I like? Well, you're stupid.
Well, no, you're stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're just throwing things back and forth at each other, and it's a very sad kind of thing. You almost wish you could go back to when you were a kid, and when you were a kid, your favorite character was Optimus Prime, mine was Wheeljack, and you didn't have to sit there and try and justify your reason for you don't like Wheeljack? You like Optimus Prime more? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? I mean, it didn't matter. It was simple back then. You liked one thing, they liked another thing. We all got along. You went home, you played with your toys, and that's all that mattered. Now we have to worry about what everybody else thinks. So I would say if I could give one piece of advice is start trying. I mean, you don't have to like their opinion, but at least respect that their opinion is not always going to be your own.
Yeah, this reminds me of something that happened earlier this year that I'm not going to bring up on air. And I'm not going to bring it up on air. We can talk about it off air. It has something to do with.
The listeners
don't want to know because it has something to do with Hot Rod, The Lost Night, and everything else. So yeah, we'll talk about that off air. You should know what I'm talking about, Optibotomus.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, It's just
Hot Rod is a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I just put it all together with the Hot Rod thing.
All right. So
speaking of that, though, I mean that's a very good point that you bring up. I mean, people look at the leaked image. Well, it's not even a leaked image. I mean, Transformers they put it out themselves of how Hot Rod looks in the new movie or how he's going to look in the new movie.
Yeah.
And people see it and they're up in arms and they go batshit crazy because that's not the way that he should look. Well, I guarantee you kids are going to think it's pretty badass looking.
All right. So
you've unleashed the Kraken.
We only talked about this on a previous.
See how easy it is just to poke him into it?
Asshole. We already talked about this in a previous All Things Transformers episode. My only gripe with Hot Rod is his robot mode. He looks like a Bumblebee knockoff. That's what he looks like. He looks like a clone of Bumblebee. That's what he looks like to me. That's my only real problem with him. So anyway, all things Transformers Origins, the origins of Optibotomus. Hopefully it's stories that you guys have not heard before. If it has been stories you've heard before, I'm sorry. We tried to make him as interesting as possible, but
I'm not very interesting.
Mr. Magoo of California over there, you know, always, you know, forgetful. Yeah, exactly. Where can the people find you online, Mr. Optibotomus, sir?
YouTube.com/Optibotomus is probably the big one. Twitter, it's at Twitter. Facebook is Team Botomus.
All right, awesome.
I did try making a Twitch, but apparently there's about like seven to eight other people
that have used
the name Optibotomus or some facsimile thereof. Even going as far as somebody made one that says the real Optibotomus, and it's not me.
God.
Does it say, will they please stand up?
Kidding. No kidding. So I had to make a Twitch thing so that nobody else would keep making names of me.
Please don't go on the wrong side of 8 Mile, folks.
Hey, he knows that street.
Exactly.
I know
Michigan.
I know 8 Mile very well. You roll up your windows, you lock your doors.
Yep.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of All Things Transformers Origins. Next time around, I don't know who the heck we're going to get. Optibotomus did mention Proto Man. I think Proto Man's origin would rival. It might be the longest ATTF we've ever done.
If you got Daniel on the show, I would highly recommend a lot of caffeine for you guys. You're not going to go away for a very long time.
Take turns for a pee break.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as he lets us ask him the questions.
he'll let you do that.
Yeah. Well, no, you ask that guy a question.
There are answers.
He's got a 4-hour answer.
Yes. We are here. We are waiting.
Funny thing is, Optibotomus mentioned BotCon 2016 earlier. And I got to meet mine and Steve's good buddy Joe from Off the Cuff, one of our other podcasts. And Joe and I do turtle stuff. And I also bumped into Proto Man at the Stan Bush concert. Meanwhile, Mr. King of the YouTube was up in the golden ticket area, couldn't even come down off of his high horse to meet me.
I didn't know that you were there, Mike.
I told you I was going to be.
Yeah. Anyway. What did I tell you about my memory?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You need to remind me of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Yes. Exactly. All right. So, as I said, I'm not sure who's going to be on the next Origins for ATTF, but we are going to have another Origins episode before the holiday break. Actually, this Origins episode, first of all, happy 39th birthday to you, sir, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody, because...
I'll be 38. Thank you
for in a row.
9.
Well.
Douche.
Well, okay, you're going to be 38. Does that mean you're going to go out west, find a cow named Norman, and bring him home? Oh, bad City Slickers joke, folks. So, happy birthday to Optibotomus. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, because this is going to be released on Thanksgiving Day here on All Things Transformers from the Geekcast Radio Network. For now, I have been TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And
Bill.
That other guy.
Bill.
That dude.
There's no Clinton around here.
Oh, Jesus.
Yet.
Excuse me, Madam President Clinton.
Wear the pantsuit.
Excuse me, Madam Bill.
Madam Bill.
That's right.
Wow.
He's the first lady of the Transform and Transcend. We will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
Let the Schwartz be with you.
Yes. All right, that was fun.
So terrible.
I know, right?
You're incorrigible, sir.
Hey. Gotta go for the jokes, right?
You know, you didn't ask me. You should have asked me how I got my start on it. And I could have said that, oh, well, Matrix Prime. Because I heard you talking about Matrix Prime. Or in the Matrix Prime one, I heard you mention that it was because of, like, his videos and stuff that I got into it.